Drasha for Miketz Zos Chanukah Tavshin Samach Dalet. Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu told his children, Lama Tisro, why should you appear before the nations of the world? And the Yalkut comments, Omar Lohem, he said to them, Bonai Giborim Atem Kulchem, you are all strong. Noim Atem Kulchem, you're all handsome. Al Tiu Kulchem Nichnosim B'Pesach Echad, don't all of you enter into one gate, velo sa'amdu b'mokum echad, and don't stand in one place together, shelo tishlut b'chem ayin hara, in order that the evil eye should not have effect over you. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah adds to this and says, al totsiu b'yedchem prusa, ve'al tikonsu kulchem b'pesach echad. Don't take with you bread or pieces of food, and don't all enter into one entrance, mitnei ha'ayin, because of ayin hara. And the Yalkut Shimoni elaborates on this and says, I'll take silver yetchem parnosa. Don't go out and let the rest of the nations of the world see that you have sustenance. Mitnei ha'tarumos, because they will be jealous and complain. The Gemara in Tainis, and that Yud says, Haholich mimokum she'ein misanim, lemokum she'misanim, person goes from a place where they don't fast to a place where they do fast, harizen misana imohen, he should fast together with them, accepting the strictness of the place where he is. Shochach v'ochel v'shoch, so if he forgot, and he ate and he drank, al yisroya b'tnei hatzibur, he should not appear before the community, the al yanig idunin b'atzmo, and he shouldn't continue to eat and make himself comfortable. Shenemar vayomer Yaakov lebonav lomet Yisro. Omer le Yaakov lebonav. Yaakov said to his children, Al tiru atzmechem kishatem tzveim. Don't make yourselves appear before the nations of the world when you are full and there is a famine, and they're hungry, lo b'fnei Esav, lo b'fnei Yishmael, not in front of Esav and not in front of Yishmael, kedei shelo yiskanu b'chem, in order they should not be jealous of you. Maral in Nesivas Olam, Nesiv Ayin Tova, says that one has to be very careful to protect himself from Ayin Hora, the evil eye, both himself and his property. And the Maral also says that Ayin Hora emanates from someone who does not want good for other people, and he has a he's jealous and can't forgive someone else any good. And the Maral says that this is a power of fire that actually burns. It's a power that can actually kill, and it is a very evil spiritual power, the power of Ayin Hara. The Sefer Charedim says that when a person sees someone else and is jealous of him, he puts on that other person an ayin hara of the Satan. The Sefer Habris says that this power of ayin hara is something that actually emanates from the eye. It's a ray or a power, an energy that emanates from the eye. And therefore, he says something interesting, that if the ayin hara is given from somebody looking through a window or through a lens, just like a lens magnifies the energy of the sun, so too the energy of the ayin hara is magnified when it goes through a lens. The Drashas Haran says that this is more of a power of the soul over body. Just like powers of the soul can affect the body, so too, and it can affect other people's bodies too. The Michta Meliyahu says that since all people's lives are intertwined spiritually, someone who wants to harm someone else and decrease their life power, not interested in good happening to the other person, or even if he's just not interested in the good of the other person, it's possible for that person to have an effect that limits the influence of life and good that comes on the person that he is jealous of. The Piskei Uziel says that ayin hara is like a poison, and it causes tremendous detriment in the person who receives it, and it comes from jealousy and desire and from hatred and anger, and it's almost like a hypnotic power. The Chazon Ish says that the Gemara mentions a few times the rabbis put their eyes on somebody and they turned into dust. And the Chazon Ish says, Shezeh Misodos Habriya, this is from one of the secrets of creation. It's possible that a person with his thought alone can destroy something successful. The Tosfos Rid says that it's possible for a person to bring an Ayin Hara even upon himself. And the Kilis Yaakov says that it is such a real power that if a person damages somebody with Ayin Hara, and damage would be a usual damage, then he would have to pay damages from the law of Garmi. And therefore we find many sources in Chazal where they were careful, or where they warned about the effects of Ayin Hara. The Gemara in Bava Basra says a person should not stand and look at the field of his friend when it is ripe, because he may put an Ayin Hara into the field. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Rav said that he investigated, and out of 100 people who died, 99 died because of the effects of Ayin Hara. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if one finds an article that he has to return, he shouldn't put it up into public view for fear that an Ayin Hara may affect it. The Gemara in Brachas and Daf Nun Hei gives advice how to protect oneself from an Ayin Hara. The in the morning we make a hiratzon according to Nusach Sfar that we should be saved from Ayin Hara. Rashi says that Bilam wanted to affect an Ayin Hara on the Jewish people. And in Halacha we don't give an aliyah to two brothers consecutively because of Ayin Hara. And also the custom is not to give two children in the same family the same name because of Ayin Hara. The Gemara says in Psachim, Tigre Simta, people who do their business, conduct their business out in the open, are vulnerable to an Ayin Hara. The Gemara says that the first Luchos were broken, partially because they were given so publicly that an Ayin Hara affected them. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Ches, says that a person has to be careful from an Ayin Hara, and the Zohar says that a person should take a detour of 100 streets and not come in contact with someone who has an Ayin Hara. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah perished because of the Ayin Hara, because they were so famous in the limelight. However, in the Afarksa, the Anya, he says that Ayin Hara is not called Bori Hazeka. It's not something that is definitely going to damage. It really depends on the person who's giving it and the person who receives it, if they are vulnerable or if they're powerful enough to give it, and the time and the place. The Marsham explains that therefore, even though the tribe of Yosef was invulnerable to Ayin Hara, and since Rav said that 99 out of 100 people died from Ayin Hara, the tribe of Yosef should have been very, very numerous. He says no, that really the cause of death is not the Ayin Hara. People die for reasons that the Rabban Shalom dictates and designates to each person, his time and his reason. The trigger of how the person dies sometimes is Ayin Hara, and that Rav said that the Rabban Shalom uses the trigger of Ayin Hara. So if that trigger doesn't exist, then God finds other ways of carrying out the cause of death. The Akedah also says that Ayin Hara, even though it begins through people, the end is Bidei Shamayim. The person doesn't die unless God wants him to die. But the trigger is the Ayin Hara. And that's what Chazon Ish says, that in the end everything is Bidei Shamayim, and there's no death without justice. But the Satan is Mekatri B'shasa Sakana, meaning that the person who gives the Ayin Hara can put the other person into a dangerous situation. And once he's in a dangerous situation, then it's possible that the Ayin Hara should take effect, or that his judgment is much more harsh and severe. Another way of understanding this is that when a person does something that is not modest, and he flaunts what he has in front of other people and causes them to be jealous and to hate him, then there is a din in heaven to see if the person really deserves to have what he has at the expense of other people. The Michtam Eliyahu says a little bit differently. He says that the person is judged then for causing the other person, or as much as he was the cause of the other person's jealousy. The Avi Nachal therefore says that when a person does Ritzono Shel Makom, he does God's will, then the Ayin Hara can't have any effect on him, because again, the Ayin Hara is only in that amount that the person is guilty of causing the other person to be jealous. But if the person is not guilty of that, then the Ayin Hara can't have an effect. Rabbi Tzadik in Yisrael Kedoshim says that Rabbi Yochanan sat by the mikveh and wanted the women to look at him so they would have fine, handsome, and children who were Yirei Shamayim. And they asked him, isn't he concerned about Ayin Hara? And they didn't ask him, however, isn't he concerned about Yetzer Hara? Because they understood that Rabbi Yochanan didn't look at the women, and he was extremely modest and protected himself from the Yetzer Hara. And he answered them that just like he's protected from the Yetzer Hara because of his modesty, someone who is modest and protects his eyes isn't vulnerable to Ayin Hara. And therefore the Sefer HaBris says that the protection from Ayin Hara is to be Hatznei Aleches, to walk modestly with Hashem in every way. The Enya Yitzchak says that there's an argument in the Gemara why the children of Yosef were protected from Ayin Hara. Is the idea, like fish, that the water protects them? They are really capable of getting in Ayin Hara, but they have a protection. Or Ole Ayin, they're above Ayin Hara. The Ayin Hara has no connection to them. It's irrelevant to them. So it's not that they're protected from the Ayin Hara, they are just completely out of the realm of Ayin Hara. And the reason is because Yosef was extremely modest and controlled his eyes and his desires. The Maharsha says that in this respect, all Jews are called on the name of Yosef concerning Ayin Hara, and if we act like Yosef, then we are also invulnerable to Ayin Hara. And in fact, the Binayahu from the Ben Ish Chai says that the Milui of Yosef, you take the letters Yosef, Yud, Vav, Samech, Peh, and you extend the letters and fill them up. Yud is Yud, Vav, Dalet. Vav is Vav, Yud, Vav. Samech, Samech, Mem, Chav. And Peh, Peh, Hey, and you take the letters that are the fillers, not the, in the Yud, it's the Vav and the Dalet. And the Vav, it's the Yud and the Vav. And the Samech, it's the Mem and the Chav. And the Peh, it's the Hey. If you add them up, you get the word Sukkah. The Sukkah is a modest, hidden place, and that's why Yosef was protected from Ayin Hara. And with this you can understand the Chikrei Lev has a question whether Hezekriah, the fact that two partners have to build a wall between them so they don't look at each other when they do private things, is the problem because of Tznius, because this way people will look at other people's wives or do what they're doing privately, and it's an idea of modesty, or it's an idea of Ayin Hara, that they may harm each other by looking with an evil eye. And he says mainly the idea is the Tznius, but there really is no contradiction, because wherever there's immodesty, that's where the Ayin Hara has its power, and where you have that wall for the sake of modesty, then the Ayin Hara can't have effect either. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe writes that even though one should take in consideration protecting himself from Ayin Hara and not doing things that would flaunt things in front of other people, but he shouldn't be overly concerned, because here the rule is that one who's not overly concerned, then the Ayin Hara has no effect on him. We mentioned, since this was Zos Chanukah, that the concept of Pirsume Nisa, of publicizing a miracle and lighting the Hanukkah candles outside in the eye of everyone, where the Chasam Sofer says that's one of the reasons why some people have the custom that women do not light their own menorahs, because when they lit outside, it was immodest for a woman to light candles outside. So the whole concept of Pirsume Nisa seems to be immodest and therefore subject to Ayin Hara. But the idea is obvious that tznius doesn't mean that we cover up the externals completely. What it means is that we don't do things in an external way completely, but we express the internal beauty externally. That's fine. That's what hiddur mitzvah is. We don't look for an ugly menorah. We look for a beautiful menorah to show that the externals, when they represent and express the internal holiness, then they're fine. Along those lines, the Vilna Gaon explained the sentence, Sheker Hachem, the Hevel Hayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Yitzalo, that when is beauty and charm false and vain? When there's nothing else, when it's only external. But in a woman who fears God, there even the beauty and the charm are very, very positive. And that's why tznius is represented by Kvuras HaMeis and Achnosis Kala, Hatznei Leches, to go. When you go to bury the dead, and you go to make a Kala rejoice. Those two mitzvahs have to be done modestly, but those mitzvahs have to be done openly. People come to a Levaya, it's something that can't be done secretly, and the same thing with Achnosis Kala. But the idea is that the external should reflect that inner holiness, then the externals are also okay. And therefore we light and the outside by the doorway, not out in the middle of the public thoroughfare, and we show and we, the Rambam says, laharos legalos es hanes, to show and to uncover the inner idea of the nes. And that's the whole idea of the menorah. The menorah was the external representation that God's presence settled amongst the Jewish people. And that's why the main thing of the menorah was how it was prepared, and how the wicks were made, and how the oil was put in. It had to be done by a Kohen. Any Jew could light it. The external was merely an outer representation of all the inner preparation that went into it. And that's why it says, after the war, they came and they purified the inner holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Hidliku Neros Bechatzos Kodeshecha. Then they were able to light the candles outside, because then the outside was a physical manifestation, a representation of the inner holiness that they prepared by purifying the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Shechina itself is the fire that descends on the altar to consume the sacrifices. That is the fire of God's presence itself. The menorah is the outer representation of God's presence, where the fire on the altar is the manifestation of God's presence itself. And therefore Hanukkah, we start with the external light of the menorah, but we want to end with the fire of the Mizbeach itself. And it could be, this is the argument of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether the main thing is to go down, main thing is to take away the externals until we come to the internal, or is the main thing to add and add and add to the external until all of the internal is manifested by the external also. Beis Shammai says that the main thing of the external is just to come to the internal. Once you have the internal, you don't need the external anymore. The soul says no. The external helps to build up the internal. Once you have the internal, you reflect it through the external, which is also still important. And that's why we end Ma'os Tur, the first stanza, Ozeg Mor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukah Samizbeach. We're looking forward to the day when the culmination of Chanukah, of that external light of the menorah, will culminate with the fire of God's presence again descending on the altar.